So today is a really big celebration for kind of a minor event, perhaps, but it's been turned into a feast. And we're talking about the celebration of the dedication of the Church of St. John Lateran in Rome. We'll have the Office of Readings today, but basically this is not just a celebration of that specific church, even though it's important to the Church of Rome, also a celebration of the legalization of Christianity with all the immediate blessings, but also, of course, difficulties that that brought in evangelizing the Roman world. So we'll begin the Invitatory, and that was way back in the 300s AD. That was almost 100 years ago now, when the Emperor Constantine signed the Edict of Milan. I believe it was 313, all the way back then. So, Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. Come, let us worship Christ, the bridegroom of his church. O God, be gracious and bless us, and let your face shed its light upon us. So will your ways be known upon earth, and all nations learn your saving help. Come, let us worship Christ, the bridegroom of his church. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship Christ, the bridegroom of his church. Let the nations be glad and exult, for you rule the world with justice. With fairness you rule the peoples. You guide the nations on earth. Come, let us worship Christ, the bridegroom of his church. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship Christ, the bridegroom of his church. The earth has yielded its fruit, for God, our God, has blessed us. May God still give us his blessing till the ends of the earth revere him. Come, let us worship Christ, the bridegroom of his church. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship Christ, the bridegroom of his church. So we picked the one that spoke more about God's blessing, about his face shining on us with glory. And hopefully that helps, help us achieve recollection, help us achieve being disengaged or snapped out of whatever is going on around us. Christ, most loving ruler, master of creation, humble petition echoes through your temple. On this feast day, every year returning, your people praise you. There is none other than a holy dwelling. This is none other than a holy dwelling. Court of the High King, gate of shining heaven, welcoming kindly all who seek the homeland, life ever blessed. This sacred temple binds you to your people, lovingly grants them sacraments most holy, feeding them ever with the bread of heaven for life eternal. Therefore we ask you, God, who guide your servants, grant us your favor, gaze on us serenely, as with rejoicing and with deep devotion, we praise your temple. Let equal praises honor the Father, God, and you, our Savior, loving King eternal. Through all creation let the Spirit's glory echo forever. Amen. Open wide the doors and gates, lift high the ancient portals, and then we'll get to pray one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 24. The Lord's is the earth in its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas. On the waters he made it firm. Open wide the doors and gates, lift high the ancient portals. Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor. Open wide the gates, the doors and gates, lift high the ancient portals. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob. Open wide the doors and gates, lift high the ancient portals. O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors, Let him enter, the King of Glory. Open wide the doors and gates, lift high the ancient portals. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, the Mighty, the Valiant, the Lord, the Valiant in War. Open wide the doors and gates, lift high the ancient portals. O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of Glory. Open wide the doors and gates, lift high the ancient portals. Who is he, the King of Glory? He, the Lord of armies, he is the King of Glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Open wide the doors and gates, lift high the ancient portals. Now we have Psalm Antiphon 2 and Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of power and might. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord God of armies. My soul is longing and yearning, is yearning for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my soul ring out their joy to God, the living God. The sparrow herself finds a home, and the swallow a nest for her brood. She lays her young by your altars, Lord of armies, my King and my God. They are happy who dwell in your house, forever singing your praise. They are happy whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the roads to Zion. As they go through the bitter valley, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain covers it with blessings. They walk with ever-growing strength. They will see the God of gods in Zion. O Lord, God of armies, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Turn your eyes, O God, our shield. Look on the face of your anointed. One day within your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. The threshold of the house of God I prefer to the dwellings of the wicked. For the Lord God is a rampart, a shield. He will give us his favor and glory. The Lord will not refuse any good to those who walk without blame. Lord, God of armies, happy the man who trusts in you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of power and might. So this is a beautiful psalm, is it not? We pray also Antiphon 3 and Psalm 87. You see that a lot in the office. Sometimes the psalms are like Psalm 126 and Psalm 127, kind of almost sequentially or very close to where they are in the book of Psalms. But Antiphon 3 is, glorious things are said of you, O city of God. Psalm 87. On the holy mountain is his city, cherished by the Lord. The Lord prefers the gates of Zion to all Jacob's dwellings. Of you are told glorious things, O city of God. Babylon and Egypt I will count among those who know me. Philistia, Tyre, Ethiopia, these will be her children, and Zion shall be called mother, for all shall be her children. It is he, the Lord Most High, who gives each his place. In his register of peoples he writes, these are her children, and while they dance, they will sing. In you all find their home. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. I will worship at your holy temple, and I will extol your name, O Lord. That's the verse introducing the lesson. And this is such a major feast that they actually want us to read the reading proper to the dedication of the church, or the dedication of a specific church, I should say. And that is the first reading from the first letter of the Apostle Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. Strip away everything vicious everything deceitful, pretenses, jealousies, and disparaging remarks of any kind. Be as eager for milk as newborn babes, pure milk of the Spirit to make you grow unto salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but approved nonetheless, and precious in God's eyes. You too are living stones, built as an edifice in spirit, unto a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For Scripture has it, "See, I am laying a cornerstone in Zion, an approved stone and precious. He who puts his faith in it shall not be shaken." The stone is of value for you who have faith. For those without faith, it is rather a stone which the builders rejected, that became a cornerstone. It is likewise an obstacle and a stumbling stone. Those who stumble and fall are the disbelievers in God's word. It belongs to their destiny to do so. You, however, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people he claims for his own, to possess the glorious works of the one who called you from darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once there was no mercy for you, but now you have found mercy. Beloved, you are strangers and in exile. Hence, I urge you not to indulge your carnal desires. By their nature, they wage war on the soul. Though the pagans may slander you as troublemakers, conduct yourselves blamelessly among them. By observing your good works, they may give glory to God on the day of visitation. Because of the Lord, be obedient to every institution, human institution, whether to the emperor as sovereign, or to the governors he commissions for the punishment of criminals and the recognition of the upright. Such obedience is the will of God. You must silence the ignorant talk of foolish men by your good behavior. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cloak for vice. In a word, live as servants of God. You must esteem the person of every man. Foster love for the brothers, reverence for God, respect for the emperor. Responsory prayer. The walls of Jerusalem will be precious stones. The towers of Jerusalem will be built with jewels. The gates of Jerusalem will be built with sapphire and emerald, and the wall around the city will be made of precious stones. The towers of Jerusalem will be built with jewels. And the second reading proper to the Basilica of St. John Lateran feast day is from a sermon by St. Caesarius of Arles. And the caption is, "We have all been made temples of God through baptism." My fellow Christians, today is the birthday of this church, an occasion for celebration and rejoicing. We, however, ought to be the true and living temple of God. Nevertheless, Christians rightly commemorate this feast of the church, their mother, for they know that through her they were reborn in the Spirit. At our first birth, we were vessels of God's wrath. Reborn, we became vessels of his mercy. Our first birth brought death to us, but our second restored us to life. Indeed, before our baptism, we were sanctuaries of the devil. But after our baptism, we merited the privilege of being temples of Christ. And if we think more carefully about the meaning of our salvation, we shall realize that we are indeed living and true temples of God. God does not dwell only in sanctuaries fashioned by human hands, in homes of wood and stone, but rather he dwells principally in the soul, made according to his own image and fashioned by his own hand. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says, "The temple of God is holy, and you are that temple." When Christ came, he banished the devil from our hearts in order to build in them a temple for himself. Let us therefore do what we can with his help. so that our evil deeds will not deface that temple. For whoever does evil does injury to Christ, as I said earlier. Before Christ redeemed us, we were the house of the devil, but afterward we merited the privilege of being the house of God. God himself, in his loving mercy, saw fit to make of us his own home. My fellow Christians, do we wish to celebrate joyfully the birth of this temple? Then let us not destroy the living temples of God in ourselves by works of evil. I shall speak clearly so that all can understand. Whenever we come to a church, we must prepare our hearts to be as beautiful as we expect this church to be. Do you wish to find this basilica immaculately clean? Then do not soil your soul with the filth of sins. Do you wish this basilica to be full of light? God too wishes that your soul not be in darkness, but the light of good works shine in us, so that he who dwells in the heavens will be glorified. Just as you enter this church building, so God wishes to enter into your soul, for he promised, I shall live in them, and I shall walk the corridors of their hearts. Responsory prayer. I saw water flowing eastward from beneath the threshold of the temple. Alleluia. Wherever the river flowed, everything became alive. Those who were saved by it cried out, Alleluia, Alleluia. When the temple was dedicated, the people sang songs of praise and beautiful hymns. Those who were saved by it cried out, Alleluia, Alleluia. And we have this special prayer of praise and thanksgiving for feasts, solemnities, and Sundays called the Te Deum. Many people do, I think it's quite beautiful. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you. Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not spurn the Virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Save your people, Lord, and bless your inheritance. Govern and uphold us now and always. Day by day we bless you. We praise your name forever. Keep us today, Lord, from all sin. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy. Lord, show us your mercy and love. For we put our trust in you. In you, Lord, is our hope, and we shall never hope in vain. And then we have the final prayer. God, our Father, from living stones, your chosen people, you built an eternal temple to your glory. Increase the spiritual gifts you have given to your church, that your faithful people may continue to grow into the new and eternal Jerusalem. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord and give him thanks. And that concludes the Office of Readings for this beautiful feast day. I'm not going to give a commentary this morning, but just a few short remarks. Several things come to mind. First off, today when we read this letter of Peter, it reminds us, too, of the great power and dignity, the great sacred power that comes to us in especially the sacrament of confirmation for the royal priesthood of the faithful. So priesthood is something that is definitely hard to understand because it's been understood in different ways over time. But basically, there's the concept of being in God's presence and acting as a mediator on behalf of other people. But yes, here we have this beautiful encouragement from the Apostle Peter that we receive holiness not only so that we can live in God's presence, but also so that we can share in the mission of the one who is anointed by the Holy Spirit, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this is something that the recent synod in Rome really is perhaps emphasizing to us. Perhaps that's the thing that the Holy Spirit really wanted the synod to emphasize to us, the power of this priesthood. And I know that it can be so hard sometimes, but people, so hard sometimes to figure out how we can be leaders in our community, especially when we're not receiving special training for ordination or something. But there are ways, and the Holy Spirit will certainly find a way to make you able to preach His word and to evangelize others. Many, many people in other Christian groups have proven that it's possible. So here we are. Also, we could have talked about the dedication of St. John Lateran and some of the history with the legalization of Christianity. You know that there were so many martyrs that died, sometimes tortured, sometimes just executed, because Christianity was considered something innovative, something new, something strange, something countercultural. And the Roman Empire was kind of not knowing what to do with them at first, and then turned out to persecute them. So 200 years of that, Christians were well ready for the legalization of Christianity, but that brought its own challenges, because without persecution, without the ability to cling to Christ and cling to our own community, we faced what is it that's going to make us, the priestly people of God, different than the people around us? And people had a very hard time. You know, it was very hard even for the Pope and even for the Church of Rome not to go over into a lot of the Roman aristocracy and a lot of the values of the culture around them. So that was kind of the struggle of that time. How do we evangelize? And how do we take the blessings of being able to be citizens of the Roman Empire without fear and yet not lose our identity as God's people, as God's bride? So that was really interesting too. And you know, as we go forward, we're hoping that we will have even more things to thank God for as we consider how our church can address the pressing questions of our time. Church is extremely sophisticated in her social and her teaching about how we should relate to one another socially. No other religion on the face of the planet, not Islam, which is an extremely organized and well thought out religion from a human standpoint, can give you the type of specific and sophisticated direction which the Catholic Church does when it comes to policies about human governmental organization. You know that the Catholic Church has several documents out about that. And for all that, the Church does not endorse one specific candidate, but the Church has tools that other Christian groups, for all of what the wisdom of God that is given to them through the Word of God, don't have. But the Church is extremely sophisticated. The popes have been extremely sophisticated in how they, as leaders of our religion, have analyzed the signs of the times, the issues of our times, applied the concepts that come to us from the Word of God, from sacred scripture, and from the writings of the saints, and applied them to our time. So please, if you feel disoriented by our political climate, if you feel frightened of our political climate, if you feel like God is almost something that's ignored and something that's marginalized in our political climate, run to the social teaching of the Church. Run to the society of the Church, which is the body of Christ, celebrating the risen Christ, and learn about Catholic social teaching, because it's extremely sophisticated, it's extremely powerful, and it's one of the best things the Catholic Magisterium has ever been able to provide. So that's me signing off. I promised that would be brief.